Good morning. Thank you for coming. There was a slight change in the title, but still the topic is on VF-120 fruit flies in Hawaii. So today I will be presenting preliminary results corresponding to a four-month period starting in September 2007 and of a project that I'm currently working on in Hawaii. And this presentation is going to be in the context of what is called an Hawaii Area-Wide Fruit Fly Pest Management Program. Represents a collaborative effort between the University of Hawaii, USDA, and Hawaii Department of Agriculture. Some of the objectives are to develop and integrate sustainable detritus fruit fly management methods in area-wide demonstration projects. And one important, another important objective is to transfer to growers this technology in an economical and sound manner to manage fruit flies in order to enhance the export market to mainland and Japan and other markets. The approaches that have been implemented in the last years are cultural practices, including sanitation, mass trapping, male annihilation using paraphernalia lures, bait sprays or bait stations, mainly using GF120, for example, and releases of parasitoids, and also releases of sterile flies. Before I start, I would like to thank numerous people that have been helping with this project, including the growers, for the last 4 months. And well, here I would like to, in the first picture, you see actually how papayas are grown in the island of Hawaii. It's actually on the lava rocks. And papaya production is important in the state, especially in the Big Island, where you have about 840 hectares planted, which represents about 90% of the state's production. In general, growers harvest the fruit every week when fruit is color break, but for them, being able to harvest riper fruit represents higher price. However, riper fruit is also more susceptible to fruit flies, including melon fly Bactrocera cucurbitae, and more importantly, the oriental fruit fly Bactrocera dorsalis. This species, Bactrocera dorsalis, is a very aggressive species, difficult to control, and current distribution is in Pakistan, India, southern Japan, Indonesia, other areas, including Hawaii. And in the Big Island, or in the Hawaiian Islands, the host plants that are present are mainly citrus, guava, mango, papaya, avocado, banana, and loquat. So you can imagine that this fly is present throughout the year. More specifically, the PUNA Area-Wide Pest Management Program started in 2005 with the goal of determining the impact of some of the techniques I already mentioned on suppression of fruit flies in papaya orchards. And that includes field sanitation as a very important component of this project, use of the paraffin lure and methylogenol, which is highly attractive to males. And the only way we have to kill females at this moment is by using the GF120 fruit fly bait spray, other than doing sanitation and just removing the fruit infested. So GF120 fruit fly bait has proven effective against different species of fruit flies in different areas of the world. However, the question that we were asking is, can we reduce substantially the density of oriental fruit fly females in an area where you have a high pressure of this fly only by spraying GF120 fruit fly bait in combination with sanitation? And so we have different challenges facing in the previous years and including in the last months, which is that growers really have to do sanitation, and that's a very important aspect. Second, we have the impact of rainfall. You spray and you have rainfall very often, too often, and probably removing some of the material sprayed. And you have also abundant host plants in the vicinity, in forested areas, immigrating to the orchard. So this is the picture of the Hawaiian Islands. So we were working in the Big Island, and you can see this is the PUNA area, and this is a zoom of the same area. I like this picture because you can even see the smoke coming from this volcano and the lava flowing here. So this is the PUNA area, and this is the specific area where we're working for this project. So the total area is about 320 hectares, of which about 60 hectares are planted with papayas. That's about 23 individual plots that belong to about 9 growers. And in 2005, as I mentioned, this project started. And the main comparison was these two areas here versus a control area. So this red indicates the application of J120. However, in 2005, most of these other areas, they were not planted with papayas, or they were planted but they were not in production. So in these 2 years, you had a significant increase in papaya production. So it's about 10 times more papayas being produced in the area in 2007. Sanitation was highly variable. Some in most areas it was bad, and in some areas was very good. And you have that always in projects that when growers are participating. And this led to extremely high pressures by fruit flies, and not only originating within the area and from the bad sanitation plots from the infested fruit, but also from outside areas. It's hard to manipulate this. So this is the situation at this point, and in about August 2007. So sanitation, starting in August 2007, was in where growers were asked to improve sanitation. That was a key aspect again. About 300 traps were deployed, baited with methylogenol, intended to mass trap males. And again, for females, we started spraying JF120 to the entire area, almost to the entire area, weekly, to border plants and also to the foliage of papaya trees in 18 treated plots of those 23 that I mentioned before. So border plants received every week 40% mixture, and foliage received 10 milliliters of 10% mixture sprayed to one mature leaf per tree every week. And this is the way we sprayed starting in September. So we have not two but five plots in which we sprayed JF120 every row, every other tree. That's the most intense use of JF120 that we had. We have five control plots in which there was no application of JF120. There were seven plots in which we sprayed JF120 every fifth row, and the remaining six plots received JF120 every tenth row. And again, the first spray started in September 11 and in the entire area except the control plots. We also have 17 traps baited with Arula yeast as an indicator of local populations within each plot as a measure of efficacy of the sprays. So Torula and the trap in combination, they're not a long distance attractants. They don't represent long distance attractants. So you can have a good idea of what is the size of the population inside the different plots. We also have 9 traps outside the orchards for comparison. What is the population outside the orchards? And we have 9 traps in different areas, 5 meters to 50 meters inside the forest. And the way we're assessing the efficacy is first by means of these monitoring traps. So these traps are inspected every week, and most important is we have infestation and data collected before and after we started spraying. So we have fruit collected from the ground, from the trees, from the different plots every 6 weeks, but today I will be focusing only on the results on monitoring traps. This graph shows for the 5 weeks preceding the first spray, you have the number of females per trap per day of only females. I'm referring only to females, because just because you have many males killed by these methylogenol traps. So this graph shows that 5 weeks and 4 weeks before we started spraying, those plots in which there was bad sanitation, they have a significant higher numbers of flies compared to orchard traps in which there was good sanitation. So for the at this moment, in 5 weeks before, we started spraying, so you have this situation in which you have significantly more females capturing traps in bad sanitation plots compared to the forest, for example. But as soon as the growers started improving sanitation, you have a decrease in captures in those bad sanitation plots to the point to which 1 week before we started spraying, you have a no significant difference, but still the idea is that after we started spraying, we should see a decrease in flies inside the orchard compared to the forest. At this moment, for example, you have the same number of flies in the bad sanitation plots and in the forest, and some flies also in good sanitation plots. This graph shows for a 12-week period captures of females in traps, but this time is after already considering the effect of JF120. So 1 week after we started spraying, we have more flies in the forest, not significantly different from the control plots where there was no application of VH120. And the blue line indicates captures in the in those plots where we spray the every row, every other tree. Now this graph shows the same on the y-axis the females per trap per day for the first weeks after we started spraying. So during the first month, you still have the effect of flies emerging from inside those plots where there was no good sanitation. And in general, there was another significant effect of VH120 on captures. So even though, for example, at weeks 3 and 4, you have numerically more flies in the control plots, the significance was not reached due to high variability in results, because we are having some plots still with not very good sanitation. However, for the second month, weeks 5 to 6, 7 to 8, we have a significant effect of VH120, in which you have no difference in those plots and spray with the VH120, but there is a significant increase in, there was significantly more females captured in the control plots. That's the same for weeks 7 to 8. And in the next graph, what you will see is an overall decrease in captures. I'm keeping the same scale in the graph. So you have a significant decrease in captures overall, but the same result that control traps, they capture significantly more compared to this treatment, for example, but no difference in display of every row or every fifth row. And that's even more a contrasting difference for the most recent data that we collected. So these results are preliminary and correspond only to trap captures. We have infestation data.
We're out of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, just
I'm next. I'll donate a couple minutes.
Okay. So VH120 proved effective against Bactrocera dorsalis. We have results for Bactrocera cucurbitae, I'm not presenting the results here. So we don't need to spray every fifth row. I mean, every row. Only every fifth row is sufficient. And technology will be transferred to growers after we conduct more research. Thank you. No time for questions.